This morning, there is a story I want to tell. And this is real life story. But before we come down to that story, we will talk from the Christian scriptures. What Lord Jesus Christ talked about. And that scripture will come from what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. Chapter 13, verse 12, and the book of Mark, not at the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 25. And this is what he says, paraphrasing it from the Gospel of St. Thomas. Whoever, this is Jesus talking, whoever has in his hand, to him shall be given. And whoever does not have, even the little that he has will be taken away from him. That makes us to pause, doesn't it? Before I go on with that, and I've made references to this before. We remember Lord Krishna when he was going around with his disciple, one of his disciples. He went to a rich man's house. The rich man looked down and like, forget it. Because Lord Krishna didn't show up in his magnificent self. It's one of those CEOs on TV that, that they disguise so that they can do good work. So the rich man didn't pay them attention. He wouldn't even let them. So Krishna and the disciple left. But then the rich man became even richer. The disciple at that time didn't say anything. Then they went to a poor man. The only thing he has was a cow that gives him the milk. He welcomed them. He got some milk that's all he has. Offered it to them. And then when they left, the only thing he had died, the cow. Now the disciple was furious, couldn't believe it. I think was flabbergasted. And said, he knew it was Lord Krishna that did it. Say, Master, Lord, how does this work out? We went to the wealthy guy. He didn't pay us any attention. He won't even give us the light of day. Isn't that the expression they use? And here's this poor man. He gave us everything. And then you took his car away. That's not fair. Absolutely, that's not fair, he said. And Lord Krishna said, calm down. If you know the truth, the truth will set you free, will empower you. That man, I took away his car because that is the only thing left between him and full enlightenment, full realization, being perfect in the oneness of God. The other one, I gave him more money. Let him enjoy it, but he will find out life is more than money. God is the only answer. So, when we look at it from what Jesus said here, we will see that Lord Krishna actually perfected that. Whoever has in his hand, to him shall be given. The wealthy man, right? He had, and Lord Krishna gave him more. But then we will find out the real meaning of this. Because if we're looking at it from the materials, I'm like, okay. And then the message of Jesus goes on. And whoever does not have, even the little that he has will be taken away from him. Remember the one we just talked about? Even the little one he has, the cow, that's all he has to eat, was taken away from him. But now, this is where we turn it on his head. What is the deeper meaning? It's the cool meaning of this. Whoever has in his hand, to have here is not material possession, which is what we were dealing with the wealthy guy and the, you know, but inner possession, awareness, knowledge, readiness. Those who grasp truth are able to receive more. Now, Lord Krishna saw that man, the one with the cow. He has that inner possession. So he's not going to allow that to go to waste. He has that spiritual awareness, that spiritual knowledge. He's ready. So Lord Krishna helped him along, even though the disciple couldn't see that. Now, let's go. To him shall be given. Remember I said, whoever has in his hand, to him shall be given. What's the deeper meaning? Spiritual abundance multiplies. Once the divine spark is recognized, which is what Lord Krishna did, it expands. Awareness deepens awareness. We need to pay attention to this. You cannot give what you don't have. You can only offer what you have. Once you are aware and you nurture it, it won't go dips. It will flow. It will shine forth. It will be as bright as the daylight with the sun, shining brightly but not scorching us. Awareness deepens awareness. Light creates more light. That's why Jesus said, you who are criticizing your brother, your sister, your neighbor, why don't you take that big block of your eye? If you take it, then the light, you will see the light, then you won't be criticizing. Your neighbor only has this little thing and you're in their eyes and you are complaining and everybody sees the big log that they could even make an overpass bridge with. Now, let's go. Whoever does not have, those without inner awareness or those who cling to illusion, lose even what little they seem to have. Ignorance drains life of meaning. Please let us put that where it belongs. Ignorance drains life of meaning. That's why the world is in chaos. Because we're so ignorant of the presence of God at all times, in all things, even in the nano moments. If God is not there, nothing happens. And we are going around like, even the bats can see clearly. Remember they said the bats, you know, they only see at night. Well, they can't even see day. It's through their, you know, senses. We are so blind, we don't even know we are blind. So in order for us not to cling to illusion, to be free, because that's one of the greatest prayers. Lord, deliver me from self-ignorance. It's the worst of the worst. Because when ignorance reigns, pride reigns, foolish pride, pettiness, anger, jealousy, greed, you name it, it's rolling along. It'll be like Mardi Gras with all the trumpets playing and he's marching and everybody, oh, there goes the ignorant man, Mr. Ignorance, Miss Ignorance. Ignorance drains life of meaning. Because when you look at all the different source systems of the world, if we are aware that when you oppress one person, you oppress all, we won't do that. And that the one you oppress, you are actually oppressing yourself. Because the life in that person is the life in you. It's the same God. There's no difference. It's the same air you breathe. Whether you stay under air conditioning or you are on the top of the mountain. If there is no oxygen, everybody will kaput, would it? And then we won't have all these wars and all these things and oppressors where people are happy, it's now gone, and whatever else. The man who abuses his spouse, or the woman who abuses his spouse, or the parents who abuse their children, who do you think they're? It is themselves they're abusing, but they can't see because they are filled with ignorance. When you treat somebody shabbily, you don't honor God in them. That's full ignorance. Why do you want to deprive someone of their life, of their freedom to live well? Just like you want to live well, let them live well, to do well. If we know that there'll be no abuse, you know, in the families, on the streets, the one who carries gun thinking is all that because it's a thug. Eventually, when the gun is turned against their crime, don't shoot me. Yes, they will easily take life. The one who sells drugs, who get people addicted, you name it. It's because the world is full of ignorance. So now we see why Lord Krishna did what he did. The man was aware. He's not going to let it go to waste. Now, this whole thing tells us the one who have kept it is part of the spiritual law. And that spiritual law says, truth grows when it is embraced, but slips away when neglected. Remember, that is the title. Now I'm going to go to the story to really, you know, it happened here in the US of A. Truth grows when it is embraced, but slips away when neglected. When we embrace the divine truth in all of us, that we are all children of God, we belong to the same Father, Mother God, to the same source system. We will not be oppressive of each other or resentful or repress the other person. And we will not cause them depression. Because that truth will take us out of ignorance to that place of illumination, awakened state. When you know who you are, oh, you celebrate, there's nothing like, oh, my own path is the only one that leads to God. Everything leads to God. Because where would you put God that God cannot be? I mean, doesn't that even make us just smile like, what an ignorant set of people we are. I'm a Christian. That's the only way to God. Oh, so God chose to remove himself from the rest of the world and just park, you know, on the church ground. Right there with your cars and shoes. That's it. Does God no longer operates in the ocean or the forest, just where the Christians are. Same with the Muslims. God is only with them. Same with the Jews. God is only with them. Same with the Hindu. God is only with them. I mean, you name it. Same with the traditionalists. God, how long are we going to live like this? God says, I brought you together. But we are trying to separate ourselves as if we're Baba Moses, you know, separating the Red Sea. So until we realize that truth, that in harmony, we are all benefit, we have that beneficial presence and we all benefit from it. Because that is the truth. And when we embrace it, everybody benefits. But when we neglect it, it slips away. Now let us go to the story. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. This is Francis Thompson quoting the hand of heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him. Of course, God loves all his children the same. But he reveals himself to us and calls us to his side in many different ways. Remember, Christian, Muslim, Jews, and all of them, male, female. I chuckle when men get into their foolish pride, that arrogance. Only a man has that intelligence that can do this. And we find out, well, I guess a man gave birth to you. Because if the female energy doesn't create, the male energy cannot build. It's just that simple. That's the truth of. And that's the spiritual law. In every sense, we're not talking gender-like woman, man. It's just male and female energy. They have to go together. So we are called in different ways. Now, here's the story of Craig Turner. Craig Turner had always been a searcher. Abandoning his Presbyterian roots in favor of Buddhism and Taoism. He abandoned his Presbyterian roots in favor of Buddhism and Taoism, studying Nietzsche and Sartre, and finally embracing atheism in his late 20s. One thing Spirit said to me, it's okay if the path we initially born you into is just a stepping ground to find the other path and all of that. But if you dishonor that path, you cannot live in fulfillment, in fullness, in the path you are going. So he's Presbyterian. He chose like, okay, I don't, you know, one thing to the other. Buddhism, okay, ended up in atheism. In 1991, Craig was working in Washington, D.C., and one day ran into two friends, Beth and her husband, Steve. Craig, will you be interested in going to Europe with us for about a week to a small village in Yugoslavia? Beth asked. The idea appealed to Craig. He had been to Europe before and always had a good time. But why Yugoslavia? He asked. Especially with the civil war going on there now. Remember, this is like 1991, so we know what we're talking about. Well, people say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, remember, we wouldn't have Jesus if he's all male thing. Even Jesus was given birth to by the female energy, isn't it? How clever is the male energy then without the birth of Jesus? Huh? So when we celebrate Jesus, we must never forget Mary. Because she came first before Jesus. Well, people say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is appearing to villagers there every day. And miracles are happening so that people would believe, Beth explained. Craig was not at all interested the moment they brought that up. I had worked with Beth, and I knew neither Beth nor her husband was strange or fanatical. This is Craig talking. But I was definitely suspicious of those so-called sightings. I believe that any sort of supernatural or spiritual phenomenon could be explained scientifically and was certainly not indicative of a higher power. This is Greg's mind now. God is present even in the atheist. So those casting as well, you are an atheist, you're going to hell. No, he's not going to hell. He might actually go to heaven before you. Peter might actually welcome you because God is in everything and everywhere. During the next few weeks, Craig tried to talk his friends out of their plans. They had never been to Europe and had paid a large sum for the trip. What if some con artist was taking advantage of them? Come with us and see for yourself, Beth and Steve pleaded. No thanks, Craig laughed. The next time I go to Europe, I will visit Spain. But I'll be looking forward to hearing about all the miracles you see. The day after the couple returned from Yugoslavia, Beth called Craig for a lunch date. How was Medagoj, M-E-D, as in David, J-U-G-O-R-J-E? Medu Gray. Okay. So I was Medu Gray. He asked as soon as he saw her. Incredible. That's what Beth said. You mean you weren't disappointed? Not at all. Steve actually stared into the sun for 20 minutes. But that's impossible, Craig pointed out. Anyone who did that would burn their corneas. I guess Craig was disappointed that they had a great time. Yes, Beth's face seemed to glow, and we smelled marvelous roses in expected places. That's another sign from Mary that she's near you. Craig was a bit shaken. He had expected Beth and Steve to return from Medjugorje, disillusioned and embarrassed, ready to embrace his belief that there was no God and that the material universe was governed by the laws of physics. Instead, their faith seemed stronger than ever. Well, he said quietly, this is great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Craig tried to forget about Medjugorje and the questions it raised. But one day, unexpectedly, he felt an intense inner urge, perhaps something like a call to holiness. Pray, 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 it said, as if a neon sign were flashing those words. Craig ignored it. But the message came back, firm and unyielding. At odd moments, finally, he decided to give in, just to rid himself of the inner prodding. Hello, he said, lying on his bed one night. It's me again. Remember, he was a Presbyterian before he left all of that to be an atheist. Craig continued to pray, but he was not living a holy life, and he knew it. As Labor Day 1992 approached, Craig and his girlfriend, Kathleen, decided to go camping in a remote region of Ontario, of Oregon. No, it's Ontario, Canada. The first few days were beautiful as they hiked and canoed around Rugged Lake. But on the morning of the third day, they awakened to the sound of distant thunder. Light rain gave way to heavy rain, and the thunder and flashes moved closer. "Are we going to get struck by lightning?" Kathleen asked. Craig laughed. "No chance. There are too many tall trees here." But a moment later, Craig was hit by the most incredible pain from every side, surging through my body, as he was saying. "I knew it was my moment of death, like the electric chair, and I was screaming as loud as Kathleen. A few seconds later, the pain stopped and everything went black. Several moments later, the two regained consciousness. They were paralyzed, numb, and terrified. It took at least 5 minutes for feeling to come back into their bodies. 10 minutes for them to feel as if they would indeed live. The inside of the tent smelled smoky because of the burns on their clothes. And Craig's singed hair, his hair was on fire. When we finally reached the hospital, the doctor didn't believe our story, Craig says. But for the next week, we suffered from odd symptoms. Because of this lingering shakiness, Kathleen, a Catholic, decided to get some comfort by going to confession. "Do you want to come along?" she asked Craig. "Sure, I will drive you," he said. After Kathleen's confession, the priest spoke with both of them for a while, then went over to his closet and emerged with two platinum medals on chains. "These are miraculous medals. Medals, he explained. They commemorate events that took place a long time ago." He blessed the medals and slipped them over Craig's and Kathleen's heads. The meeting was over. Somehow the medal felt right to Craig. He got in the habit of slipping it under his t-shirt in the morning. "He certainly couldn't do any harm," he said. About a week later, Craig began to get strange feelings. Not physical symptoms, which he might still attribute to injuries from the lightning, but sort of a gnawing or tugging at my inside. Thoughts of Steve and Beth kept popping into my mind. I couldn't get rid of the idea that they were praying for me. "Kath," he finally said to his girlfriend, "this is strange. I think I've been feeling Steve and Beth praying for me." "What do you mean?" Kat said. Craig explained the images and impressions associated with his experiences, hoping Kathleen could explain it all away with some scientific answer. "I suppose," she said, "that you could be feeling them praying for you." "Was such a thing possible?" "Probably. Would it matter if anyone prayed for an atheist?" "Was he still an atheist? What kind of atheist prayed and wore a miraculous medal?" A few weeks later, Craig, Steve, and Beth were out shopping together. "It will have to be now," Craig decided, when Beth went back to put some parcels in the car. Craig felt a strong inner urge. Ask him. "Steve," he said, have you been praying for me?" Steve looked at Craig matter-of-factly, as if he had been waiting for the question for a long time. "I sure have." "I knew it," Craig cried as Beth came back. "I felt it. I really did. We believe you, Steve laughed. We say prayers almost daily for you, your conversion. Sometimes we thought you were a hopeless case. Craig, do you know what prayer we were saying for you each day? Beth said. Beth asked. The miraculous medal novena. The miraculous? Couldn't Craig yank the miraculous medal and chain out from under his shirt? He couldn't believe it. Do you realize I was given this by a priest just a few weeks ago? Before I have never heard of it. God works in mysterious ways, Steve said. Who could disagree? But God wasn't finished sending signs to Craig yet. A few weeks later, Craig popped by Beth and Steve's apartment to pick up something. There was a strong scent of roses permeating the entire place. Wow, where are the flowers? Craig asked. I smell roses. The scent was so strong that he felt as if he were standing in a florist shop. I don't smell any roses, Steve said, shrugging. And Beth doesn't wear rose perfume. Steve, the aroma is all over the place. Don't tell me you can't smell it. Nope. The two men looked at each other. Craig, Steve said, you are being visited by the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it was incomprehensible, unbelievable. He didn't want these bizarre things going on in his life. Yet he alone smelled the roses for a half an hour. And the fragrance reemerged in his car on the way home. The very next day, he made an appointment with the priest who had given him the medal, hoping this man could shed some light on what had been happening. Yes, that was a lot of dramatic experiences in a short period of time, the priest agreed. These little gifts from God, called graces, are used to convert people who may be close to conversion, but need that extra push. Father explained, they wouldn't happen constantly because then there would be no need for faith. And people would obey God in order to receive a prize rather than because they loved him. Craig suddenly realized that he did love God and how gently God has set out this path for him and led him down it. It has started with the interest and prayer of two friends willing to risk rejection by interceding for Craig. It has continued with a near-death experience that had not hurt Craig and Kathleen, but had started them thinking about how they should be living their lives. Then a meeting with a priest who had introduced Craig to Christ's mother, and a special sign that she loved Craig as she does all her children, despite his denial of her. Craig knew he was just beginning his education. When he left the priest, he went out and bought a Bible. Today, Craig is a Catholic, married to Kathleen, and a member of a vibrant prayer group in the Washington, D.C. area. His daily journey consists of small steps of faith, steps that he will take until the day he dies. For me, it's not conversion. This is the way of awareness. Where can you be that God is not? You may deny it, which is what we are doing. That's why we live in that ignorance. But God doesn't deny it. Sooner or later, we will have to wake up. And sooner or later, what will happen? The spiritual law kicks in. Truth grows when it is embraced, but slips away when neglected. The moment Craig embraced that miraculous medal, he was saying something. He's going back to his roots. And God has been with him all his life. It's the same thing with us. So let us embrace the truth and let it grow in us. And let us not neglect it. Neglected because it will thank Lord Jesus for this message. May all of us celebrate what we are given, embrace it so that we can flourish, and so shall it be, and so it is. Amen.